In the dynamic world of private LTE networks for utilities, it's all about a collective approach toward grid modernization solutions. Join us alongside leading utilities, including Ameren, Evergy, Lower Colorado River Authority, San Diego Gas Electric, and Xcel Energy, who are driving the evolution of utility private wireless networks with Anterix. Together with our 100-plus member ecosystem and the Utility Strategic Advisory Board, we're de-risking private LTE investments. We're not just providing solutions. We're pioneering a cleaner, safer, more affordable, and secure energy future through 900 megahertz powered private LTE networks. By joining us, you're part of a force driving innovation, accelerating returns, and future-proofing the entire ecosystem. It's more than spectrum. It's about evolving together. Don't miss out. Embrace the power of collective action, ensuring a sustainable utility private LTE evolution.
To learn more, visit Anterix.com.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection where the worlds of energy and technology come together.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection, sponsored by Anterix. For those of you listening for the first time, welcome. For returning listeners, welcome back. I'm Interim President and CEO Ron Beck, and today I'm honored to host Ryan Gerbert, Chief Operating Officer of Anterix. It's an honor to have Ryan on today's episode. This is the 2023 finale of The Intersection. I can't think of a better way to end a great season than spotlighting our partnership with Anterix, who has generously sponsored this season of The Intersection. Ryan joined Anterix in 2020 and oversees its sales, product development, marketing, operations, technology, and engineering efforts. Before Anterix, he spent 13 years at Trillium. He also worked at Manitoba Hydro, an electric power and natural gas provider in Canada. Ryan, thank you for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself?
Yeah, hey, Ron, good morning. And thank you as well. You know, I'm delighted to be here to talk about partnerships, in the spirit of such. Just so grateful of the partnership that we've had with UTC over the years, and the opportunity to host this podcast through the year. Just such a tremendous opportunity to share everything that we're learning, and hopefully, kind of use that information to gravitate around how do we help this industry, that we've both been invested in for so long, really see mark developments and take advantage of some of the unique and innovative technologies and solutions that are coming to bear. But again, great to be with you today. Look forward to the conversation.
Well, that's so good to hear, because I think the most important and valuable assets that our industry have are the partnerships that we make. Many companies, it's about your reputation, it's your brand. And utilities are much the same. We provide a service to customers, but it's the partnerships that we make in the back, the implied partnership with our customer, but the partnership that we make around the association. And it's what keeps us at the forefront of technology and just allows us to better serve our communities. In my history, partnerships come in two forms, obviously the strategic and then the spontaneous. However they happen, the goal is to turn a conversation with a client, with a community member into action. And I know Anterix and UTC have had a deep production partnership focused on addressing just the challenges that the industry speaks and faces. And I want to start by asking you, why is it so important, on your side, to continue partnerships like ours?
Yeah, let me reflect on a little bit of the point that you just started with. Honestly, I've been over 20 years, in this industry, made it my entire career focus to be able to help our nation's utilities. One of the things that has always decided me the most, we're going to be talking about today, is that idea of partnership and collaboration across the industry. It's such a unique aspect, of the utilities, generally non-competitive, work across their regions, but I think it opens so many opportunities for us to be able to build lasting collaborations and these lasting partnerships across the entire industry, not just ourselves with UTC and technology companies, but even capture best practices and lessons learned across utilities as they're able to explore, and be able to bring their learnings and findings to the next in line. And, I think the importance of that couldn't be more relevant today. I think, Ron, kind of like the technology landscape, just what's changed, in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And, the complexity of things has, grown exponentially. And I don't say that in a negative way. I think ultimately it's a positive. But when I think about technology adoption today, the idea of having kind of a, a singular bespoke, you know, kind of technology partner being able to address everything that's going on in the industry, it's just not practical, right? There's so many moving parts when we put modern solutions together today. And frankly, if we're not successful forging partnerships and alliances and, you know, kind of strategic relationships, I think we're really not serving the best, you know, interests of this industry. And that the more that we can put those pieces together, we're taking advantage of all of the best in practice, you know, kind of technology capabilities that an individual company may have, you know, and then adopting and embracing it, you know, in concert with many, many, many other partners, you know, could really extract max benefit for the utilities and the very people they're serving. I'll give you one example, Ron, if I may. You know, we were working with San Diego Gas and Electric, you know, early in the broadband wireless adoption cycle. And, you know, one of their key focuses was on wildfire mitigation, you know, and interestingly, actually last week, you know, I had the opportunity to speak with Edison's foundation, the IEI Foundation, and we were specifically talking about San Diego's journey and the use of private LTE in their, what's called their falling conductor protection solution. Yeah. And what I found really interesting about taking a step back, Ron, was, you know, it was enabled using, you know, kind of Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories technology that's embedded in lots of our substations. We've all seen the blue boxes, right? You go walk around a utility substation, you're sure to see them, you know, and, you know, San Diego clearly had a need. But what was interesting that was a missing piece, kind of the special sauce in it, you know, was having the ability to enable kind of real time, you know, hyper secure, you know, broadband communications. And we didn't invent anything necessarily new. It was putting the pieces together and the partnerships that were formed between the three companies that were able to extract this brand new solution, you know, called falling conductor protection, you know, that offered, you know, a proactive measure to be able to mitigate one of the things that our industry is facing, as I'd argue, one of the larger existential threats that we see out there, you know, in utility-formed wildfire. And that couldn't have happened in isolation. You know, not one of us in isolation could have solved that problem. It took us coming together, each of our competencies, you know, really to unlock this capability that, to a certain extent, was embedded already in the substation. We just needed to put the parts together in a different way.
You know, that's such a great point. And I appreciate that, because that particular example, especially with the wildland wildfire mitigation pieces, is a hot topic with so many utilities. I mean, I want to say a couple of years ago, it was the topic out west. And as you know, that's where I spent a lot of my telecom engineering practice. And now I'm in the Southeast, and it's a discussion down here as well. It's going to be national. It's going to be global. So I think that's interesting, as you said, with the partnerships, because, you know, as 2023, this is the last intersection episode for 2023, and this is the first year of, I would say, normalcy. We're getting back after COVID, where a lot of what we were doing was having these discussions online. Now we can have these discussions using technology. But I've also always argued that technology was what made the grid, the water system, the city, the neighborhood smart. Without the telecommunications piece, a lot of it's the same way we always did business. But as you point out, with wildfire mitigation, there's new discussion, new focuses, new challenges. How is Anterix harnessing, you know, these same partnerships, the ones you just talked about, to lead the way to the discussion that many of us are having on a cleaner, safer, more affordable, more secure energy future, or in any grid? But many of our members, listeners, are on the electric side of the discussion, as you said, with San Diego Gas and Electric. But that global awareness of what a cleaner, safer, more affordable future looks like, let's talk about some of those partnerships.
Absolutely. Let me put it in perspective a little bit from our point of view, kind of how we've approached this to your question. We describe it, you know, in our messaging and kind of how we embrace it and embody it, really, as the culture as a company around joining us, you know, and I think this brings out an important aspect about kind of the attributes that what true partnership ultimately means. But for us, it's actually not about the spectrum. I think everybody knows us, you know, as kind of the foundation of our company is really bringing the 900 megahertz spectrum to market. But we recognize pretty early on, you know, that it's really not about that, you know, and it's really not about Anterix, you know, at the heart of it. You know, it's about joining in, you know, with now, you know, the five utilities that we work with directly at our utility partnerships who are embracing and deploying modern wireless networks on private LTE. You know, this is across 14 states now, you know, just for perspective. But in addition to that, it's about the 110 plus companies, you know, that are part of now the Anterix Active Ecosystem Program, which speaks to the capabilities to bring folks together to be able to put really these modern technology solutions together. It's also about the 11 executives, you know, that we have at our Utility Strategic Advisory Board, you know, that are specifically there to help share their experiences and their journeys, you know, as we collaborate across all the different members that we see in the, you know, in the utility ecosystem. And it's also about these relationships, you know, it's relationships with UTC, the other trade organizations that are a critical voice to be able to help us get that conversation out there. And as you said, now probably more importantly than ever that we're getting back out there, we're in the field, you know, we're seeing each other face to face and we're really developing all of these innovative ideas. But for us, why that matters kind of at the heart of it, as you move into private LTE or frankly, any other complex technology cycle, it's about joining into a de-risk ecosystem of partners and solutions, right? Our ability to de-risk the supply chain, you know, all the different components of the technology stack, you know, to build a robust community of solution providers and device providers and service providers and consultants, you know, is, you know, a big part of, you know, how we've focused on, you know, that evolution and taking advantage of the power of these partnerships that we see, you know, as we really help the utility industry understand what it looks like to embrace and adopt these kinds of solutions.
No, that's, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that perspective because that's what I've witnessed. I mean, I've seen this in a number of places with a number of the partnerships that we developed over the years at my utility company. And, you know, as we spoke at the onset, these partnerships can be strategic, obviously, on one side, but they can be spontaneous, that in the moment a need comes up, somebody you've worked with in the past comes together. For our listeners, how did this vision, this mantra joining us, and the power of partnerships actually develop and evolve? What was the longer term thinking? Was it more strategic or was it more spontaneous? Where a balance?
Yeah, it's probably a combination, but honestly, it seemed kind of obvious to me, right? You know, as we embarked on this journey, you know, kind of the reality of the need, you know, and as I said earlier, just kind of the complexity of what we all recognize being in terms of modern utility solutions. You look at it this way. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we've all know utilities don't just adopt technology, right? You know, technology is a means to an end. You know, our goal is to solve real world problems. And we do that through the deployment of solutions, you know, and solutions simply by definition, you know, are the combination of different pieces of technology, you know, and that requires us as an industry. And I think as a group of suppliers and providers to this utility industry to be humble. You know, we need to recognize, you know, where our core strengths are, you know, and where the skills of others may lie, and being able to put those all together in a real team spirit, you know, to be able to address this incredible evolution that the sector is facing. But that's kind of how we got there, you know, is through the recognition that we couldn't go at it alone. That wasn't our mission, wasn't really where our core strengths were in all these different areas of innovation and application of technology. And that by proactively seeking to build these relationships, as you said, you know, sometimes strategically and sometimes very spontaneously, you know, that we were stronger together by being able to put all those parts together.
So a true multiplier. I mean, sure. Think about the force multiplier concepts, and it's those partnerships in a non-competitive world, or even in a competitive world where the best subjects, the best pieces, you know, as a telecom engineer, we put puzzles together. We have a problem. We figure out a pathway to solve that problem. Usually these problems are brought to us by the protection engineers or the substation engineers, whatever the case may be. And we're looking for that multiplier, that piece that makes it easier. And it sounds like that's exactly where many of these partnerships with Anterix have developed over the years.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's take a bit to examine some of these more strategic partnerships in more detail. So the ones that, private LTE, long-term evolution. So long-term evolution, defined standard, many people are familiar with it from the handheld device and their families have to stay in touch with each other. But long-term evolution is the current encoding network protocol that many of the carriers are using. The concept of private LTE, I think, is a nice bridge between the public ubiquitous coverage of a carrier network and the needs that utilities have around security and availability, and not a consumer best effort network. They're looking more for that, well, historically, well, we like to control our own destinies. So let's talk about some of the factors that you're seeing within those private LTE networks and working with some of our utility members, your partners.
Yeah, I mean, I think of a part of our mission, Ron, which is fascinating, is we're living now, you know, in this time of really the intersection, you know, great to come back to the title of the podcast, but this intersection between mega sectors that really excites me, you know, kind of to that point for such a long time. I'm a telecom engineer by background too, so I think I share the passion as you do, you know, but we've been living with a lot of bespoke technologies, as I described it, right? We built specific communication systems in a lot of ways to solve some very unique challenges, and they worked really, really well. You know, let's face it, they did their job, they did what they needed to do, but we haven't really been able to tap into, you know, kind of the universal global, you know, communications stack being used by the carriers, right? And, you know, I think now taking advantage of LTE, 4G, you know, obviously migrating to 5G in the future is putting us into a roadmap that's really drafting behind, you know, the millions, if not billions of dollars of global investment that goes into the R&D and the standards and the interoperability and all these components that really come with embracing a standard like LTE. You know, by being able to intersect that now with the mega sector of utilities, to your point, it takes some customization, right? The carrier networks using these technologies for us, you know, we all have cell phones, you know, we're all, you know, very reliant on them now more than ever, but our uses are different, right? Our consumer uses are so dramatically different than what a utility needs to use it for. And the way it's built, the reliability of it, the security of it, you know, it needs to be there at the worst of times is how I've always thought about telecom. You know, it's great, you know, on blue sky days, you know, when your networks are working and there's probably lots of comparables between public and private networks. I need that network to get the grid back online in some very disastrous situations, you know, which means its resiliency and its reliability needs to be a notch above, you know, the very infrastructure that we're trying to manage, that we're trying to control, you know, as telecom folks, you know, really managing the intersection of utilities. I've come to describe it, though, honestly, LTE, I describe it as the Swiss Army knife of telecom, right? You know, it's one of the things that I love about it, that, you know, it's not there to solve one problem. It's not there to solve one different use case. The real power of the LTE technology and the fact that it's built on a robust global set of standards says we can roadmap it out to be able to solve many problems at the same time. And frankly, not just today, right? We can build now off top of this, you know, anticipating that it's going to be in our, you know, kind of in our life cycle for 10, 15, 20 years, you know, as the very standard that it's built on continues to adapt, you know, and we're evolving along with it. And that makes me excited, you know, that really taps into the innovation cycle that we see around the technology partners that are out there. Have a robust foundation, you know, of kind of high speed, low latency communications to be able to build modern solutions on, to be able to take advantage of these capabilities now for many decades to come, you know, as we're starting to embrace the foundation, you know, of this digital layer, you know, really to be able to create this opportunity.
I, of course, appreciate that because, you know, everybody today, you see the money that's in the federal government is putting out in the wireless, in the fiber optic world. There are so many opportunities for unserved, underserved, and the two go hand in hand. I mean, I see that as a partnership as well, that many utilities in the middle mile, the connection between communities, their fiber optic networks are underbuilt on their electric networks. I see opportunity out there pretty much everywhere from the fiber optic perspective as the modernization of a smart city, whatever they can, because I think that fiber optic system that we build today is the one that the 5G network is going to run on in the future when we have sites that are closer together. But the piece you brought up, the 900 megahertz, the piece that Anterix brings to the intersection, if you will, we joke whether it's the last centimeter or the last kilometer or the last inch, last mile, depending on which continent you're on, you're always going to have a bit of wireless. And those wireless pieces are getting more, you need them more. The spectrum is becoming that much more contentious and unavailable, really. So I think Anterix is in a great position there. Let's talk about that aspect. Let's talk about the economic and practical benefits of partnerships between a utility, solution provider, and where that ecosystem fits in your strategy at Anterix.
Absolutely. A couple of things that come to mind, Ron. I mean, I think the first thing was, and this is kind of the hallmark of good partnerships when I think about it, beyond just the strategy. You know, to me, good partnerships are developed from, you know, a group of individuals or companies coming together, but really recognize the ability to meet the customer where they are, right? You know, and this is one of the hallmarks, I think, of really being able to intersect with any given utility. I mean, we know the technology is applicable. Frankly, every utility has a slightly different set of dynamics, right? They have different priorities, they have different needs, they may have different economic realities. And by being able to collectively as an industry, you know, align those uses and those outcomes, you know, in a way that meets the need of where a utility partner is today, you know, and then build the roadmap with them goes forward, you know, it's a pretty unique combination of features that, you know, I think true partnerships are really built on, you know, that true recognition that not everybody's starting at the same place. And, you know, it's not our job, you know, as partners to the utility industry to really force utilities to come to us. You know, our mission needs to be to really learn, understand, and embrace the reality of where utilities are. But one of the benefits, you know, to the question, you know, is that when I think about kind of the idea, one of the essences behind the join us messaging, you know, is there's scale and scope benefits, you know, that we start realizing as an industry, you know, when we're embracing kind of modern technology and really driving commonalities, you know, and driving some level of scale, you know, that comes with, you know, really being able to build some compatibility across these different networks. We're all trying to solve similar problems, you know, at the end of the day. We're going to have similar types of devices. We're going to have similar types of technology needs. And by coming together, you know, we're able to really drive and modernize the entire landscape of the supply chain, you know, in a way that could be really, really positive, right? We've done it in the industry with transformers, for example, you know, the way that we come together. You know, I think there's similar attributes as we look at kind of modern communications technologies that can help us put our powers together more collectively, that can be influential over the roadmap of many companies, you know, can drive R&D in a way that really addresses these unique set of capabilities and needs that we have as energy providers, as we talked about earlier, you know, but by doing that together and doing it collectively, I think we have a significant influence over where this trajectory ultimately goes.
Great point. And there's a lot of thoughts there for me, but I'll drill in on one. Having worked for a public utility previously, there's a lot of community benefit to a lot of the networks that we built, the fiber optic networks, the wireless networks, joint use, I guess, is a way to put it, multi-user. And I think LTE networks in general are multi-user. So a private LTE network, I think, almost lends itself to that kind of partnership where with your municipality, thinking fire, police, water meter reading, if you're an electric meter reading company, if you've got different aspects, the commonality almost begs for a partnership when the rate payer for the electric service is the taxpayer within the community. You spoke of five different utilities across 14 states. I mean, seems to me that when you're putting together those networks, there's some other opportunities out there for the utility to seek a partner, if you will, to help subsidize or operate that private network. Any experience along those models?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I couldn't agree more, honestly, with the philosophy, though. You know, there's a capability that gets unlocked, you know, through this kind of technology. That's absolutely, when you think about a carrier, right? Let's think about the public option here for a minute. Those networks are not distinguishing to users, right? You know, kind of a subscriber could be a business, it can be a consumer, it can be a variety of different things. It's built for that, right? The very heart of the technology, it's built for that. You know, and absolutely, I see opportunities where, you know, the larger, you know, investor-owned utility, you know, which, you know, are the ones driving some of the foundations of this today, you know, can absolutely take advantage of this technology and build, as you said, real alliances and partnerships, you know, with some of the other kind of like-minded interests that sit underneath it. You know, and we see that, you know, kind of playing out in a few different ways. You know, one example, honestly, that I'll reference is, you know, that I always get excited, I call them the crystal ball, you know, but Southern Link, you know, the networking extension of Southern Company, I think I've showed us all.
Backyard.
There you go. Yeah. They've showed us so much, you know, right, in terms of the art of possible of what can be done with modern communications infrastructure, where, you know, they absolutely make it part of their business focus to not just serve the needs of the core utility, but to bring that unique networking capability out into other areas like police and like fire departments and stuff like that, municipal services. And I think it's such a fantastic extension capability of what these systems are really going to be built for. The other area you referenced, you know, that we talk a lot about with utilities too, is really how to embrace and evolve the nature of mutual aid. You know, you want to talk about partnerships, right? I mean, we're dependent, we're codependent on each other as utilities, you know, particularly in times of storm recovery, where, you know, we welcome, you know, our neighboring utilities to come in and help, you know, just like we would in turn reciprocate that, you know, at a drop of a hat. It's just who we are, you know, as industry participants. The technology can serve us better, honestly, you know, in that realm. If there was standards, you know, and as we start seeing kind of multi-state adoption, the concepts of the ability to have a more seamless migration of trucks and communications and kind of back office work management systems, you know, in a way that becomes more transparent and embracing for our neighbor utilities coming in and integrating immediately in a technology sense with the existing work crews, I think it's a huge opportunity as you start putting this stuff together, you know, an exciting opportunity to extend these relationships and partnerships that we have across the industry.
I guess the way we would put it, these type of partnerships actually de-risk from a utility point of view of making these investments, making the choice to go into it. Because, you know, LTE, as the carriers will tell you, there's a lot of back end. There's a lot of moving parts. It's beyond the device at the end. It's the infrastructure behind. And so there's always a piece of risk in there. I look back at beta versus, you know, the more prevailing VHS standards. I look at WiMAX. I look at a number of things that showed great promise very early on. So utility, those early adopters, have been a bellwether, really, for many of us looking at different technologies and then looking at who they partnered with. So, you know, there's Anterix has got a lot of familiar faces out there. They've been a voice in this particular space. And just, you know, like you said, it isn't just bringing 900 megahertz spectrum to the conversation. Something a lot of utilities need is that foundational building block for the network. Now you bring other partnerships in. You bring the knowledge of how to address some of the utility-specific problems. Outstanding. I mean, this has been a good chat. I've enjoyed our time today, and I've enjoyed our time over the years. But, you know, before we close out that last intersection of 2023, anything else you'd like to add as we start looking at what's over the horizon in 2024?
Yeah, very quickly. You kind of hit the punchline already, but, you know, I think the biggest thing that I try to, you know, continue to educate, you know, and really around forming these partnerships and collaboration across the industry, you know, is to look at the partner companies. And I pride ourselves, I hope, in our ability at Anterix to be able to do this, to look beyond kind of the core business interests. You know, I've always described ourselves as more than a spectrum company, you know, and, you know, what the heck does that mean? It means we have a meaningful mission, right? It means we're absolutely orientated to try to help and be motivated by having these kind of conversations and pulling the ecosystem at large and all of the utility participants that are out there to take advantage of the capabilities, be educated, share your experiences, lessons learned. It's a very selfless way of operating, but I find it to be the most successful. And frankly, for me personally, and for us at the company, one of the more rewarding ways to come at the market. You know, and kind of in that, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, we're always here to have kind of an open conversation. We're happy to share what we know. We're always interested in learning, you know, about the areas that we don't fully understand or that we can do better at. You know, it's a big part of growing a company and driving a mature organization around how we really do right while doing good, you know, frankly, for the industry. But parting shot, Ron, you know, kind of before we leave for the year, you know, again, nothing but gratitude for UTC. You know, we love our relationship. I'm thankful for having this opportunity to chat with you. I loved it. It's energizing. You know, can't wait to have more of these as we go into next year.
That's exactly it. And for our listeners, we look forward to entertaining you, inspiring you, provoking thoughts with you. Going into next year, we appreciate the sponsorship of The Intersection. And I say thank you, Ryan, for joining us today, for wrapping up what's been a great year. And to the listeners, thank you all for joining us at The Intersection, sponsored by Anterix.
Thank you. Thank you for meeting us at The Intersection. For more information about the Utilities Technology Council, visit utc.org.